Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family. This is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the Scripture and the Sense podcast, episode number 832. Where, by the grace of God Almighty, for the glory of Jesus Christ, I read the Word of God and give the sense of it based on an authoritative commentary source such as the Bible Knowledge Commentary of Dallas Theological Seminary, and no doubt the greatest application and devotional, and maybe I should say the greatest devotional and application commentary ever written, the Matthew Henry Commentary. This podcast is based upon Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, where it says, Ezra and the Levites read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. The aim, therefore, dear friends, of this simple podcast that God gave me to do is that through the simple reading of the Word of God and the giving of the sense of it, it is my humble prayer that the church would be revived and that the world would be awakened and saved from the wrath of God to come, and saved from the eternal burning hell. And speaking of hell today, and I have not put this on paper yet, but you have heard people somehow getting a vision of hell. People who have written books, they have been to hell, they have seen hell. Well, for some reason, God gave me a dream about hell. And in that dream, I noticed several things about hell, and we must all go by what the Bible says. God oftentimes shows, show prophets and people who are close to him and who pray to him and who serve him extra things. And I noticed a few things about hell in this dream. Contrary to what people may think, hell will not be chaotic. God is the one who created hell, and so, believe it or not, things will be done, even in hell, decently and in order. That's one of the things that stood out to me. It's not going to be a chaotic situation. Number two, which the Bible reveals this as well, but I saw it firsthand, if you will. And I'm a Baptist preacher, by the way. I don't, you say, well, preacher, have you ever read these other people's visions of hell? No, no, because I'm like you, I'm skeptical. I don't believe, I don't believe what people be saying, and I don't expect you to believe what I'm saying to you. It was a dream given to me for some reason. And, And that is, people will be punished at different levels. And And there's a part of hell that is given over and separated out to people who have done evil and gross things like murdering people, such as Hitler and Jeffrey Dahmer and people like that who raped and molested people and then ate their bodies and all that kind of stuff. But many people in hell will not be in that constant punishment of burning, rather, and is of course hot in hell. And what I saw also was that the flames come out for some of the people at different, as they walk through corridors of hell. This is another thing I saw, that hell will have different levels, if you will, different corridors. And then the fourth thing I noticed is that since hell is an orderly place, believe it or not, people will have jobs in hell. It may be, moving I don't know what kind of jobs, but people will be working in hell. And another thing I saw was that you will have a supervisor in hell. I don't know if this person is a person who didn't sin as much as some of the others, and they were halfway decent people, but they did not believe in Christ. They will be your supervisor. There won't be demons or the devil, because they're in that other part of hell where it's constant torment and constant fire burning, and all of hell is hot. All levels are hot, and on all levels there's burning, but not as much as in that other part of hell. So you will have a supervisor in hell that will actually greet you when you get to hell and will tell you what you need to do. Depending on what you did in this life as far as your sins are concerned, the evil you did. And so that's just a few things I saw in this dream. And I don't know why God, I've never dreamed a dream like this before. And these are extra revelations, if you will, that do not go over what the Bible says. This is just something God has shown me. God knows that I have probably, by the grace of God, preached more on hell than any preacher living today. That's all recorded, because I preach on hell every time I preach, as Jesus preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible, and certainly more than many preachers today. So I don't know if he just wanted me to get a more vivid picture of it, how the Lord was working in that. I'm not big on people talking about their visions, and I'm certainly not big on believing people's visions, because there is a book called A Vision of Hell. I have never read the book in my life, because I'm an old-fashioned Baptist preacher, Bible-believing, conservative, straight-down-the-line preacher. I don't want to hear too much about anything extra that you have experienced or seen if it's not in the Bible. And I believe 100% what the Bible says about hell and the lake of fire. So that all comes first. This is a vision of hell. This is a dream that I had about hell. And So, and I don't know how real that is or not, but I know it was real to me. And I'm just kind of passing it on to you. But hell is hot, and always hot. Flames are gushing out for the people who did less evil at different, it's just, while you're walking down a corridor, some flames will just be on the sides of the cave or the wall or whatever it is. And as you walk by, you have to kind of dodge, you know, being burned, and that's what I saw. And you, of course, you're still going to be burning. It was just a very interesting and very vivid dream. And so you, however, make sure you understand that hell is a real place, and hell is a place that Jesus described as a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and that is there too. And you hear it, and you will see some of it as you go along. Even though there is darkness in hell, and it's characterized by darkness, there's no doubt about it. There's no light there. The Bible, Jesus Christ describes hell as a place where the fire is not quenched. And the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And that is, of course, everything the Bible says about hell and the lake of fire, that is there. The main thing that stood out to me in the dream was that hell is an orderly place. God created hell for the devil and his angels. And so he knows what's going on. He knows what's there. And things are done decently and in order, even in hell. It's amazing how sinners want to repent, and how some sinners change when they're under that kind of punishment. But everything the Bible says about hell is true, and you do not want to go to this awful place. You don't want to go there. It's a terrible, terrible place. And so the only way you can avoid doing that is by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Today, beloved, we're reading Zechariah chapter 5, verse 2. "And he said unto me, What seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll. The length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof 10 cubits. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. I pray that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit and give us your strength, your energy, and your might. Your unction and your anointing to read your holy word and to understand it and apply it to our lives. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray, and for his sake, amen. So, dear friends, I just read in your hearing Zechariah chapter 5, verse 2. Now, here is the sense of it. Here is the sense of it. Here is the understanding of it from the Bible Knowledge Commentary. And it reads, again, the interpreting angel asked Zechariah, "What do you see?" To bring out the features and to communicate the significance of the vision, Zechariah said he saw a huge flying scroll. Zechariah said he saw a huge flying scroll, 30 feet long and 15 feet wide. The scroll was not rolled up. It was spread out like a large sheet, so it could be read on both sides. Its large size was coincidentally or intentionally the exact size of the tabernacle, perhaps suggesting that the judgments contained on the scroll were in harmony with God's holy presence in the midst of Israel. The suspended position of the scroll as flying or floating facilitates its function of rapid entrance into the judgment, into and judgment on the houses of thieves and perjurers. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you for your holy word. Thank you for helping us to understand it more. And I pray that, Lord, you will help us to apply your holy word to our lives, to teach it to others, to preach it, the gospel to others. Lord, please save those who are lost. Save their souls from hell. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the Scripture and the Sense podcast. Please remember to read the Word of God, the Holy Bible, each and every day of your life, and pray without ceasing to God about everything, and for wisdom to understand His Word and apply it to your life. Most importantly, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you shalt be saved. Please stay tuned for a complete presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can get your soul saved from hell to that wonderful place called heaven when you die. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Now, dear friends, if you're with us today and you do not know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him, Jesus Christ, for your soul's salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have failed God. We're all guilty before God. You do not have the right to look down your nose at others. You're just as wicked as others. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin always. You will be paid for your sins one day. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Our payday someday is death. To these beautiful bodies, death to so many things before you die, death to marriages, death to relationships, death to material things. You will experience 1,000 deaths before you die because of sin. But ultimately, you will die physically. Your body will be put in a cold, dark grave. And that ought to be frightening because it is frightening. But more frightening is that your soul, if it dies without Christ, will go to a burning hell to spend eternity in a dark place, even though there's fire. You say, "Preacher, I don't believe that a loving God would put people in the hell where Jesus Christ, the loving and lowly one, preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ, the loving one and the lowly one, preached more on hell than any prophet in the Bible. He said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Whatever you do, don't experience the second death, because it's bad news. Hell is bad news. But I have good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. Jesus suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. And he said these words to you before he left here. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou and you shall be saved." Pray and ask Jesus Christ to save your soul and to come into your heart and change your life. He will do it. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again, and you're ready to trust him as your Savior, pray and ask him to save you, and he will. I'll be glad to lead you in prayer in what is called the sinner's prayer, or the prayer of salvation. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, that I have done evil in your sight. I am guilty because I have broken your Ten Commandments, your law. I've taken your holy name in vain. I've dishonored and disobeyed and disrespected my own parents. I have lied many times before. I have lusted after people and things and what others have. I've stolen things before. So Lord, that's 5 to 6 commandments I've already broken out of your Ten Commandments. And so please have mercy and grace upon me. For your holy Son's sake, Jesus Christ, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart, the best way that I know how, in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and he bled and he died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. And help me to turn from my evil ways. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, dear friend, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. And Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good until next time. Now, I may be traveling here over the next few days, and but I will resume preaching as soon as I get back, and I will do some preaching while I'm on the road. So thank you so much for your prayers. Please continue to pray for us, and we will continue to pray for you. God bless you. Until next time.